You're on Sunday Night on ABC Radio around Australia and across the web to the world. John Cleary with you. One of my guests now is somebody who from time to time appears on this program talking about religion. This evening, in another guise entirely, Australia swept by bushfires again across Victoria. One of those who's put some time into looking at the issue historically and in the perspective of the present reality is Dr. Paul Collins. Paul Collins is the author of Burn, the epic story of bushfire in Australia, published by Allen and Unwin just a couple of years ago. Paul Collins, welcome to Sunday Night.
Hello, John.
A rather sad occasion on which to talk about something you know quite a bit about.
Yes, bushfires are always tragic. I spent 2 years writing Burn in the National Library. I ploughed through newspapers from the foundation of Australia pretty much up to 2003 to the great fires of 2003. And
of course, what prompted you was personal experience as well. You were in Canberra at the time of the fires of 2003.
I was here on that dreadful Saturday afternoon in January in 2003 when the fires swept into the suburbs of Canberra. But I was also moved by the fact that just a couple of months previously, I'd bought a bush block in the Snowy Mountains, which had an old house on it. And the block was burnt out entirely, and the house was burnt down. And being a bit of a historian, I suppose I was trained as an Australian historian originally. I decided to try to get something on the history of bushfire in Australia, and found there was absolutely no general history. And so I made a commitment to writing a general history. Spent 2 years of work on it. And Burn was the product of it, and I'm kind of proud of it, although it didn't do so well, quite frankly, as a book, because I do think we tend to block these things out of our minds. But just at the present moment, of course, when the fires really break out, we do take them seriously.
Let's talk for a moment about the great fires in Australian history and whether through your research, and of course that you were ploughing through records that were kept from the earliest days, there is some common link between them all, either physical or geographical. Are they linked? Can you see a common thread?
Oh, I think you can, John. The interesting thing is Victoria is one of the most bushfire-prone areas in the whole of the world. Really, we do tend to hear a lot about fires in California, largely because the Americans are very good at advertising things. But I don't think there's any doubt that Victoria is probably the most bushfire-prone area in the world. A terrible fire occurred back in 1851 in Victoria, just really only 20 years after original settlement. It was a fire that burnt out about a third of Victoria. Not a lot of people have done a lot of work on these fires. As far as I can ascertain, only about 12 people were burnt to death in 1851, even though the fire was extraordinarily extensive. But what is very interesting is that a number of the areas that are being mentioned today, the very areas where the fire was quite intense in 1851, Kilmore is one area that certainly comes up just to the north of Melbourne. You find a similar pattern in the archetypal Australian bushfire, which is Black Friday in 1939. 71 people killed in Victoria, all up 85 people killed across South Australia, Victoria, and New South Wales. The Black Friday fires and the fires of yesterday actually followed the same path as Black Friday. The fire was deliberately lit in Kinglake. The Kinglake suffered very, very badly. The fires, for those who know the Victorian geography, that area just to the north and northeast of Melbourne, the fire went across from Kinglake across towards Healesville. Yesterday's fire actually seems to have gone from Kinglake across a little bit further north and hit Narbathong, the Black Spur, and then across to Marysville. So the path of it was about 20 kilometres further north than the Black Friday fires. But it seems to, in many ways, have resembled Black Friday. The Ash Wednesday fires of 1983 that people tend to talk an enormous amount about, because it's more, I suppose, more recent in our our memory. The Ash Wednesday fires, which were very bad in both Victoria and South Australia, 47 people killed in Victoria and 14 in South Australia, those fires resulted really from a terrible change and an unexpected change in the wind, although I noticed just on the news a man who I'd actually quoted in the book who had been at Upper Beaconsfield in Victoria on Ash Wednesday, saying that the fires yesterday were actually worse than Ash Wednesday. Now, someone with that level of experience, I'd be very much respect their point of view. Tassie, of course, copped it in 1967. 62 people died, mainly in southern Tasmania. Again, a terrible blow-up day.
Paul, just let's pick up on a couple of the things you've mentioned through that list. You mentioned the wind and the strength of the wind just a moment ago. The other thing that strikes me is, of course, bushfire season. Can bushfire season be pinpointed to a certain meteorological pattern that sets in Australia at a certain time of the year, this time of the year, late January, early February, and makes us particularly prone in the southeast of Australia?
Yes, John, you're spot on there. There's no doubt about that. Wind is the key issue in bushfires. It's wind that drives the fires, and once fires get up the kind of velocity they clearly got up yesterday, they're unstoppable. The key factor in all of this tends to be a stationary high in the Tasman. What tends to happen in January, February, like mid-January to mid-February, you do tend to get stationary highs in the Tasman. What they do is they then create a wind pattern that goes up over into central Australia, drives the winds into central Australia in moving in a northwesterly direction, and then they swing around, dry out in central Australia, swing around, gain velocity, and then come southeast again. And so you tend to get what are essentially northerly winds, that is, they're coming out of the north, and they particularly affect Victoria and southern New South Wales and South Australia. That's the pattern. And it's interesting, if you have a look at the weather maps, we've had that stationary high in the Tasman over the last week or so, and clearly that's what drove the fires of yesterday.
Is that also accentuated by the fact that in the north at the moment you have a monsoon low that's been pretty intense with all that rain coming to Queensland?
And that's another pattern that you find. When there are enormous bushfires in the southeast, you tend to get monsoonal patterns in the north with very heavy flooding, and there's this irony of Australia. I mean,
it's Dorothea McKellar.
It really is. It's an extraordinary continent, and I suppose it's easy for those of us who are not affected by the fires to laugh. But I mean, that is the irony of the country. The other issue that I think we really have to seriously consider is the issue of fire bugs. The majority of these fires are deliberately lit.
Well, let's talk about that before we get on to firebugs. Firebugs being related to people and population and population density. Is there anything we learned there about how we have to live with fire? It seems to me firebugs are one element of human impact on the environment.
Well, the 2003 fires, which are certainly the most extensive and certainly the longest-lasting bushfires in the history of European settlement in Australia, what is fascinating about 2003 is that virtually all of them were natural fires. That is, they were started by dry lightning, many of them over the Alpine area and over the mountain areas of Victoria. So 2003 was, in my view, an entirely natural event. In my view, again, and this is a guess, and it's a guess, it's no more than a guess because we don't have the evidence, but I suspect that the alpine areas of Australia in the southeast probably go up every couple of hundred years. We've got to remember that eucalypts need fire for regeneration. And so I think that.
And in fact, their leaves are explosive, aren't they?
Of course, absolutely. And they're full of very explosive material. And so I think that 2003 was a natural fire event. However, Black Friday and Ash Wednesday, and I suspect that the evidence will show that yesterday's fires and are really the product of arson. And because the evidence for it is that most of these fires are in settled areas. They are certainly in forested areas, but forested areas where there is a fair amount of human settlement, and that the question of human settlement becomes a key issue. On Black Friday, 71 people were killed in Victoria simply because a large number of people were living a subsistence existence in the bush just outside of Melbourne in the mountain ash forests. And virtually all of the Black Friday fires of 1939 were deliberately lit. There's no doubt about that. I would be willing to guess, and this is, I have to say, because the evidence is certainly not there yet, but I'd be willing to guess that the majority, I would say by the far majority, the big majority of these fires that we've experienced yesterday were deliberately lit. I note that...
Is that deliberate intent in terms of putting a match to the ground, or is it deliberate in the sense of human habitation and laziness? I mean, cigarette butts, using angle grinders. I mean, that sort of thing counts in the deliberate category? Or the...
Well, it certainly did on Black Friday. Mm. I think that people in Australia... Now we have a much greater awareness of the dangers of fire, and so that I think that most normal and sensible people in Australia take the right precautions, and the authorities have been extremely proactive, and they're absolutely right. All the advice that's been given is, in my mind, looking at the historical evidence, absolutely spot on. They're talking absolute sense, but what we have in Australia. A good friend of mine in the New South Wales Police is a copper who's been working on this for a long time. What we have in Australia is that we have normally young men somewhere between 16 to 28. That seems to be the pattern. These have got psychopathic tendencies, but certainly they're not nutters. Many of them are actually quite normal, and they're quite aware of what they're doing, and they're quite aware of the consequences of what they're doing. In my view, such people, their behaviour is extraordinarily antisocial. Not only do they put people's lives in danger and property destroyed, but they do gargantuan damage to the bush, and the number of native animals that are killed in all of this, as well as domestic animals, the number of native animals is just appalling. And... I mean, we have got to realise that in Australia at the present moment, we probably have a 100-fold increase in the number of fires going through the bush compared to the Aboriginal Australia. Certainly the Aborigines did burning, but their burning was much more cautious, much more careful, much more focused. What we've got is just wildfire and... people who light fires, I would throw the book at them.
We've got to wind this up, but just in the light of that, do you think that the authorities in both Victoria and New South Wales, and to some extent South Australia, where these events have become all too common over the last 30 years or so,
and Tasmania and Western Australia as well,
have been adequately prepared this time? Was there anything that was in the rucksack that hadn't been thought of?
Look, I think Australia is extremely well prepared for bushfire. We have extremely good people running these things in all of the states. There's no doubt about that. We are probably better prepared than anyone else in the world. But we've also got to take into account that we have the most inflammable landscape in the world. We've got to take into account that people want to go and live in the bush, and they want to live near the forest. They want to build houses in the forest. They want to build houses along ridge lines to dead-end streets. And all of that creates a situation where people place themselves in danger. And now, I don't want to be heard as criticising people for one moment. And this kind of blow-up situation that we faced yesterday and today only occurs every 30 or so years or 40 years. And we do tend to forget all of that, you see, and that's where a little bit of history is useful. In fact, what I was trying to do in Bern, in the book, and I think people do have to be aware of where they're building and the proximity of the bush, the proximity of forest, and the danger that they place themselves in by building and living there. I mean, I've got a house. I've replaced the house that was on my block down in the Snowy Mountains, but I'm absolutely realistic that it has to be protected, and the only way you can protect it is to, in fact, tear the trees down around it if you want to protect that. You can't have the trees growing right up to your house.
The wisdom we need to learn is to learn to live with nature in ways which are protective
absolutely.
Of both.
That's
Paul Collins,
right.
We're rapidly running out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on this very difficult Sunday night.
Good to talk to you, John.